It's been, obviously, 1,000 years since the Battle of Llanfairpwll. It's changed a little bit since then, geographically. Where once, perhaps only a few people lived in the area, thousands of people now call it home, and many of them are now helping to organise the 2014 commemoration. Louise Denver went to the town's new heritage walking trail to find out just what can happen in 1,000 years.
We're here at the first board of our heritage trail, and this gives us a little bit of background to what Ireland was like before the time of the Battle of Clontarf.
Colette Gill is the chair of the Clontarf 2014 committee. This month they launched boards on the seafront, which mark locations on the Battle of Clontarf heritage trail.
Okay, looking out you can see Dublin Port. You can also see up to the left the Bull Island, which wouldn't have been there at the time of the Battle of Clontarf. That has only formed over the last 200 years. There is where we would have had an island in the past called Clontarf Island, and that island would have been there at the time of the Battle of Clontarf.
Over the years, the geography of Clontarf has transformed, and local historian and emeritus professor of history at NUI Maynooth, Dr. Colm Lennon, has recorded many of the changes, including the disappearance of Clontarf Island.
During the 17th century, it was used as a quarantine for victims of the plague. Then thereafter, it was still used for leisure purposes, for bathing and so on, right down to the 19th century. But then by degrees, it just began to disappear as the bay became very different in its shape and topography, so that nowadays there's nothing left.
But what of the landscape where the battle took place?
What probably did change was the nature of the shoreline itself, which was overflowed by the tide, prone to flooding, mud flats along the stretch from the Talca estuary right around towards Dollymount.
Okay, we're now at our third Heritage Trail board. This is where the actual battle took place. Today, Castle Avenue is obviously built on. It has houses and it's the road leading up to Clontarf Castle.
While thousands of people are currently living in Clontarf, at the time of the battle, this figure was probably just a tiny fraction of the current sum.
There was no Castle Avenue there in 1014. The earliest settlement that we have evidence for is the building of the castle, and that was about 150, 160 years later. The fact that there was a fishing weir suggests that there was a small fishing community, but I haven't found any evidence of a town or a settlement until the 12th century, when the Normans came in 1170.
We're now just arrived at our final board on our heritage trail beside the wooden bridge. This board is just giving us a little bit of history of the legacy of the Battle of Clontarf.
And it was only in the following few hundred years that Clontarf began its transformation into a bustling urban area.
I think the next big settlement was when the Normans arrived in 1170. You have the grant by the king, Henry II, of his ville of Clontarf to the Knights Templars, who were a crusading order, but also involved in agriculture, in settlement. And they took over the manor of Clontarf, the district, and made it into a feudal enclave with its own agricultural system, its own social system, and its own parish as well. They ran the parish, and they also began to develop the port of Clontarf and the fishing industry as well.
But it's only really since the 19th century that the rich history of the area has come to the attention of locals.
People in Clontarf began to buy into the sort of image of Clontarf as a very important historical place, and they began to say name some of their houses after events. Conquer Hill, Brian Boru Street, you have Danes Fort, Danes Field. So in the 19th century, as Clontarf was developing as a suburb, it began to take on this sort of aura as an important outlier of Dublin with its own historical identity. But I think you can still detect signs of the old Clontarf.